In black and white, Big Ben strikes 11 o'clock. A London film production. Presented by Alexander Korda and David O. Selznick. Joseph Cotton, Valley. Orson Welles, Trevor Howard. Carol Reed's production, The Third Man by Graham Greene. Paul Herbiger, Ernst Deutsch, Erich Ponto, Siegfried Breuer, Hedwig Bleibtreu, Bernard Lee, Wilfred Hyde White. Screenplay by Graham Greene. Zither music played by Anton Karas, Western Electric Recording. Associate producer Hugh Percival, distributed by British Lion Film Corporation. Produced and directed by Carol Reed. A Wintry City Skyline. Vienna.
I never knew the old Vienna before the war with its Strauss music, its glamour and easy charm. Constantinople suited me better. I really got to know it in the classic period of the black market. We'd run anything if people wanted it enough and had the money to pay. Of course, a situation like that does tempt amateurs, but... Well, they can't stay the course like a professional. Now, the city, it's divided into four zones, you know, each occupied by a power, the American, the British, the Russian, and the French. But the center of the city, that's international, policed by an international patrol, one member of each of the four powers. Wonderful. What a hope they had, all strangers to the place, and none of them could speak the same language, except a sort of smattering of German. Good fellows on the whole, did their best, you know. Vienna doesn't really look any worse than a lot of other European cities. Bombed about a bit. Oh, I was going to tell you about Holly Martins, an American, came all the way here to visit a friend of his. The name was Lime, Harry Lime. Now, Martins was broke and Lime had offered him some sort of a job. Anyway, there he was, poor chap. Happy as a lark and without a cent.
A train pulls into a station, then Holly Martins, a man in his 40s in a fedora, grabs his bag, then approaches a military policeman on the barrier.
Passport, please.
Oh.
What's the purpose of your visit here?
A friend of mine offered me a job here.
Where are you staying?
With him. 15 Stiftgasse.
His name?
Lime, Harry Lime.
Okay.
Thought he'd be here to meet me.
After walking under a ladder, Martins pauses to look at two classical statues flanking the entrance to a grand apartment block, then steps inside. He trots up the main staircase, then rings the bell of an apartment. Further up, a porter is changing a light bulb.
Da werden Sie kein Glück haben, mein lieber Herr. Sie kommen um 10 Minuten zu spät. Da ist niemand mehr hier. Sie leiten umsonst.
Speak English?
Englisch? Naja. Little. Sie kommen um 10 Minuten zu spät. 10 minutes too late. Already gone.
Who?
His friends. And coffin.
Coffin?
Mr. Limes. An accident. Knocked over by a car. He in front of the house. Have seen it myself. Killed at once. Immediately. Already in hell. Or in heaven. Sorry for the gravediggers. Hard work. It is frost.
Martins arrives at a cemetery where a funeral is taking place. He goes up to a man with a pencil-thin moustache.
Can you tell me, who's the fellow called Lime?
As Martins carries on to join the mourners gathered around the grave, the man casts a cool eye over him.
In
A man with a fur-trimmed collar and piercing eyes notices Martin's arriving and whispers to his older companion. The older man turns and studies Martin's closely. Then Martin notices a young woman standing next to him and slightly apart from the other mourners. With a small scoop, the priest sprinkles earth onto the grave, then walks away, touching the hand of the woman as he passes. When the woman is offered the scoop, she turns on her heel and heads off. Martin steps forward and throws earth on the grave, watched closely by the man in the fur-trimmed collar and his older companion. As Martin walks away, the man with the pencil-thin moustache sets off after him. The man with the fur-trimmed collar takes a wreath from the older man, then lays it down on the grave. As Martin weaves between the gravestones, the man with the pencil moustache keeps his eye on him, then stops by a car.
Like a lift to town? I've got a car here.
He opens the car door, then Martin climbs in.
Thanks.
As they drive away, a sergeant in an open-top military car puts aside his magazine and follows them.
My name's Calloway.
Martins.
Your friend alive?
Yeah.
Been here long?
No.
Calloway notices the woman from the graveside walking along the road, then the car that's following them.
Had a bit of a shock, haven't you? You could do with a drink.
Could you buy me one? I haven't got any Austrian course.
Thanks.
Schmolka.
I guess nobody knew Harry like he did. Like I did.
How long ago?
Back in school. I was never so lonesome in my life till he showed up.
When did you see him last?
September 39.
When the business started?
Mm-hmm.
See much of him before that?
Once in a while. Best friend I ever had.
That sounds like a cheap novelette.
Yeah. Why write cheap novelette?
I'm afraid I've never heard of you. What's your name again?
Holly Martins.
No, sorry.
You ever hear of the Lone Rider of Santa Fe?
Can't say that I have.
Death at Double X Ranch? Ranch?
No.
He must have known I was broke. He even sent me an airplane ticket. It's a shame.
What?
Him dying like that.
Best thing that ever happened to him.
What are you trying to say?
He was about the worst racketeer that ever made a dirty living in this city.
Policeman, huh?
Come on. Have another drink.
I never did like policemen. I have to call them sheriffs.
Ever seen one?
Pinning on a dead man. Some petty racket with gasoline or something. Just like a cop. You're a real cop, I suppose.
It wasn't petrol.
So it wasn't petrol. So it was tires or saccharin. Why don't you catch a few murderers for a change?
Well, you could say that murder was part of his racket. It's all right, Payne. He's only a scribbler with too much drink in him. Take Mr. Holly Martins home.
Holly Martins? The writer? The author of Death at Double X Ranch?
Listen, Callahan.
Calloway, I'm English, not Irish.
If you're not going to close your files at a dead man's expense.
So you're going to find me the real criminal. Sounds like one of your stories.
When I'm finished with you, you'll leave Vienna, you look so silly.
Here's some army money. Should see you through tonight at Sarkis Hotel if you don't drink too much in the bar. We'll keep a seat for you on tomorrow's plane.
When Martin swings a punch, Sergeant Payne floors him.
Please be careful, sir. Up we come. Written anything lately?
Take him to Sarkis. Don't hit him again if he behaves. And you go carefully there. It's a military hotel.
I'm so glad to have met you, sir. I've read quite a few of your books.
How fierce they are.
I like a good Western. That's what I like about them, sir. You can pick them up and put them down any time. Now, Mr. Hartmut.
Yes,
sir. Major Calloway said this gentleman's got to have a room for the night. He'll be off tomorrow.
Passport, please.
Can't anyone introduce you to everybody?
In English, in...
Mr. Crabbin.
What is it, Sergeant?
Mr. Holly Martin, sir.
Who?
The author. Thought you might be interested.
Never heard of him.
Well, he's very good, sir. I've read quite a few of his books.
Have you, Sergeant? Author? Martins? Thank you, Sergeant.
Mr. Martins?
My name's Crabbin. I represent the CRS of GHQ.
You do?
Yes, cultural re-education section. Propaganda, very important in a place like this. We do a little show each week. Last week we had Hamlet. The week before we had, something.
The striptease.
Yes, the Hindu dancers. Thank you, Sergeant. This is the first opportunity we've had of making an American author welcome.
Welcome.
Now, I'll tell you what, Mr. Martins. On Wednesday night at our institute, we're having a little lecture on the contemporary novel. Thought perhaps you'd like to speak.
Well, they wouldn't know me.
Oh, nonsense. Your novels are very popular here, aren't they, Sergeant?
Very popular, sir.
Very popular. Are you staying long?
How long can one stay here on this stage money?
Listen, Mr. Martins, if you'd agree to be our guest, we'd be delighted to have you.
Would you?
As long as you care to stay.
But it's due to leave tomorrow, sir.
Excuse me, have you got toothache?
Number 8, Mr. Martins.
Come upstairs a moment, dear.
I know a very good dentist.
I don't need a dentist. Somebody hit me, that's all.
Peter?
Goodness, we must report that to the police. Were they trying to rob you?
Oh, just a soldier. I was trying to punch his major in the eye.
No, a major, were you really?
Heard of Harry Lyme?
Well, I've heard of him, of course, but I didn't exactly know him.
Well, I was going to stay with him, but he died Thursday.
Goodness, that's awkward.
That what you say to people after death? Goodness, that's awkward.
Mr. Martins! Excuse me. Telephone.
Who is it?
Baron Kurtz.
It must be some mistake. Yes?
I was a friend of Harry Lyme.
I'd very much like to meet you, Baron. Come around.
Austrians aren't allowed in your hotel. Couldn't we meet at the Mozart Cafe?
Where?
Just around the corner.
How'll I know you?
I'll carry a copy of one of your books. Harry gave it to me.
Be there in a moment. Wait a minute. If I do this lecture business, you'll put me up here a while?
Certainly.
It's a deal. You ever read a book of mine called The Lone Rider of Santa Fe?
No, not that one, sir.
It's a story about a man who hunted down a sheriff who was victimizing his best friend.
Seems exciting.
It is. I'm gunning just the same way for you, Major Callahan.
Sounds anti-pretty, sir.
Baron Kurtz, the man with the fur-trimmed collar from the funeral, approaches the cafe conspicuously holding a book. When Martins comes out, Kurtz holds up the Oklahoma Kid with a smile.
Baron Kurtz?
Mr. Martins? Delighted to meet you. Come, let's sit down here. Over.
Zwei, what would you like, tea, coffee?
Coffee.
Schwarz-Schwarz. It's wonderful how you keep the tension.
Tension?
Suspense.
You really liked it.
At the end of every chapter, you are left guessing what he'll be up to next.
So, you were a friend of Harry's?
I think his best. Except you, of course.
The police have a crazy notion that he was mixed up in some sort of racket.
Everyone in Vienna is. We all sell cigarettes and that kind of thing. I tell you, I've done things that would have seemed unthinkable before the war. Once, when I was harder, I sold some tires on the black market. I wonder what my father would have said.
I'm afraid the police meant more than that.
They get rather absurd ideas sometimes. He's somewhere now, he won't mind about that.
Even so, I'm not going to leave it at this. Would you help me?
I wish I could. But you know, I'm an Austrian. I have to be careful with the police. I'm afraid I can't help you. Except with advice, of course. Advice.
We came out of his place like this, and we are walking this way. A friend of his called to him from over there. Harry went across, and from up there came the truck. It was just about here.
Here?
Yes. His friend and I picked him up, carried him across over here. It was a terrible thing. Terrible. We laid him down just about here. And this is where he died.
Even at the end, his thoughts were of you.
What did he say?
I can't remember the exact words, Holly. I may call you Holly, mayn't I? He always called you that to us. He was anxious I should look after you when you arrived, to see that you got safely home, tickets, you know, and all that.
But he said he died instantaneously.
He nods to the porter.
Well, he died before the ambulance could reach us.
Well, it was only you and this, this friend of his. Who is he?
A Romanian, Mr. Popescu.
I'd like to talk to him.
He has left Vienna.
Martins wanders over to the porter.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Did you know Mr. Lyme well?
Mr. Lyme, yes.
You remember me upstairs.
Yes, I remember you.
Well, who used to visit Mr. Lyme?
Visit? Was will er wissen?
Er will wissen, wer hier verkehrt hat.
Ach so. Ja, es kommen so viele Leute her. Sie waren da, der Popescu und... Ich kann nicht alle kennen.
What do you say?
He says he doesn't know everybody.
Karl, kannst du einen Moment hereinkommen?
Moment. Schauen Sie, ich bin ja nur...
Du musst ans Telefon.
Excuse me.
The cleaning lady ushers the porter away.
Who's at the funeral beside you?
Only his doctor, Dr. Winkel.
Wasn't there a girl there?
Some girl of the Josefstadt Theater. You know what Harry was. You oughtn't to speak to her. It would only cause her pain.
Not necessarily. She'd probably want to help.
What's the good of another postmortem? Suppose you dig up something, well, discreditable to Harry.
Would you give me your address?
I live in the Russian sector, but you'll find me at the Casanova Club every night. One has to work the best way one can, you know.
What's the name of this girl?
I don't know. I don't think I ever heard it.
You did mention the theater.
Josefstadt. But I still think it won't do Harry any good. You do better to think of yourself.
I'll be all right.
Of course. I'm so glad I've met you. A master of suspense. Such a good cover, I think.
At Sacker's Hotel.
Number 8, please.
Major Calloway's compliments, sir, and here's the ticket for the plane tomorrow.
You tell the Major I won't need it. Oh, Porter, order me a ticket tonight for the Josefstadt Theater.
Ah, Mr. Martin.
Good evening, Sir, I was to drive you to the airfield or take you to the bus, sir, whichever you prefer.
Didn't you hear Mr. Craven offer me the hospitality of the HQBMT?
Ich bitte.
On stage, four characters in powdered wigs and crinolines are playing out a scene, watched by Martins in the audience. One of the actresses is the woman from the funeral. As Martins checks his program, on stage the woman waves her fan with a mischievous smile. Martins slips out of his seat. Backstage, he's about to follow a sign to the bar, when the dressing room door is opened, affording him a view of the woman from the funeral who's newly come off stage. As she fusses and fixes her costume, he watches her for a few moments, then hesitantly crosses the threshold.
I was a friend of Harry Lyme.
She hurries back on stage.
Afterwards.
Ich hab gleich vier und genieße das Eheleben in vierfacher Auflauf.
Her smile fades when she looks at Martins.
Mein Kind, das neue Chiffonkleid für dich ist bestellt.
After the performance, Martins finds her removing her costume jewelry.
Oh, Miss Schmidt.
Oh, come in.
Thank you.
Sit down.
Thank you. I enjoy the play very much.
Excuse me. Good enough, Anna. Good enough.
You were awfully good.
Do you understand German?
No. I could follow it fine.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps Harry told you about me. My name is Holly Martins.
No, he never told me about his friends.
Oh.
Would you like some tea?
Thank you.
Someone threw me this packet last week. Sometimes the British do instead of flowers, you know, on the first night. That was a bouquet too from an American. Would you rather have whiskey?
Well, tea's fine.
Good, I wanted to sell it. Oh, there is some tea left.
Had you known him sometime?
Yes?
I wanted to talk to you. No, thank you. I wanted to talk to you about him.
There's nothing really to talk about, is there? Nothing.
Well, I saw you at the funeral.
I'm so sorry. I didn't notice much.
You were in love with him, weren't you?
I don't know. How can you know a thing like that afterwards? I don't know anything anymore except I want to be dead, too. Some more tea?
No, not tea. Would you like a cigarette?
Oh, American. Thank you. I like them.
I was talking to another friend of Harry's, Baron Kurtz. Do you know him?
No.
He's got a little dog.
Oh, yes.
Don't understand what Harry saw in a fellow like that.
That was the man who brought me some money when Harry died. He said Harry had been anxious at the last moment.
Yeah. He said he remembered me, too. Seems to show he wasn't in much pain.
Dr. Winkel told me that.
Dr. Winkel? Who's he?
A doctor Harry used to go to. He was passing just after it happened.
His own doctor?
Yes.
Well, were you at the inquest?
Yes. They said it wasn't the driver's fault. Harry had often said what a careful driver he was.
He was Harry's driver?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't get it. All of them there. Kurtz, this Romanian Popescu, his own driver knocking him over, his own doctor just passing by. No strangers there at all.
I know. I wondered about it 100 times, if it really was an accident.
Martin spins round.
What difference does it make? He's dead, isn't he?
But if it wasn't,
I'm asleep.
Ja, Frau Huber. Ja, ich gehe schon. I must hurry. They don't like us to use the lights.
Porter saw it happen.
Then why worry?
Martin checks his watch.
Do you know that Porter?
Yes.
Es ist gleich da unten. Da ist es passiert. English passiert.
What's he saying?
He says it happened right down there.
Happened right down there.
You saw it?
Well, not so. Heard. I heard the brakes.
What?
And I got to the window and saw them carry the body to the other side of the Joseph. That Joseph. Emperor Joseph statue.
Why didn't they bring him in the house?
While Martins talks to the porter by the window, Anna wanders into Lime's bedroom and turns on the light. She takes a casual look around, then removes her fedora and sits down at the dressing table. As she looks at her reflection in the mirror, she opens the drawer, then takes out a comb and runs it through her wavy, dark hair.
Could he have been conscious?
Conscious? Miss Ulyanovich?
Was he still alive?
Alive? He couldn't have been alive. Not with his head in the way it was.
I was told that he did not die at once.
Aber woher denn? Der war gleich tot, der Franz, keine Angst.
No, I mean that...
Er war gleich tot. Gleich tot. Moment.
No, you...
Warte ein bisschen, Moment. Franz Schmidt, bitte, wie sagt man auf Englisch? Er war gleich tot.
He was quite dead.
He was quite dead.
But this sounds crazy. If he was killed at once, how could he have talked about me and this lady here after he was dead? Why didn't you say all this at the inquest?
It's better not to be mixed up in things like this.
Things like what?
I was not the only one who did not give evidence.
Who else?
3 men helped to carry your friend to the statue.
Kurtz?
Yes.
The Romanian?
Yes.
And?
There was a 3rd man. He didn't give evidence.
You don't mean the doctor?
No. He came later. After they carried him to the Joseph statue.
What did this man look like?
I didn't see his face. He didn't look up. He was quite gewöhnlich, ordinary. He might have been just anybody.
Just anybody.
Hello? Perista? Hallo? Warum antworten Sie nicht? Hallo?
Who was that?
I don't know. They didn't answer.
But I was told there were only 2 men there. You've got to tell your story to the police.
Police? Why police? It's a Blödsinn, was it a song? Nonsense. It is all nonsense. It was an accident.
You don't know it was an accident. You only saw a dead man with 3 men carrying
him. The army mocked me no gun step, but I should have listened to my wife. She said you were up to no good. Gostet.
Suppose I take your evidence to the police.
Auf mir aus geht's zur Gasanstalt. Auf mich lassen Sie aus mit der Polizei.
Now, hold on.
Ich schaut mir davon, aber friendly zu die Ausländer.
A young boy kicks his ball into the apartment, then stands listening.
I have no evidence. I saw nothing. I said nothing. It's not my business.
We'll make it your business.
I have always liked you, but you must not bring this gentleman again. You must go at once, please. Please, sonst vergesse mein winnerischen Charme. Please. Und ich bläht ein Hirsch nur, weil ich höflich sein will, kriege jetzt auf einmal eine Schere mit der Polizei.
You shouldn't get mixed up in this.
Well, if I do find out something, Can I look you up again?
Why don't you leave this town? Go home.
Unglaublich! Ja, wo stecken Sie denn, Frau Schmidt? Die Polizei ist oben. Sie suchen nach Papieren und lesen all ihre Briefe, als wenn man ein Verbrecher wäre.
What is it?
Was will die Polizei von Ihnen?
Ich weiß nicht.
Das müssen Sie doch wissen. Ich meine, ohne Grund wird die Polizei ja nicht ins Haus kommen, Fräulein Schmidt. Eine Schande.
What's she talking about?
The police. They are searching my room.
Sie müssen doch wissen, um was es sich handelt. Mein Gott, das ist doch schrecklich. Man ist ja nicht mehr Herr in seinem eigenen Haus, wenn es noch die österreichische Polizei wäre. Aber Amerikaner, Russen, Franzosen und mitten in der Nacht. Ich meine, wenn Sie mich doch wenigstens vorher verständigt hätten.
Leaving the landlady behind, Anna makes her way to her apartment in the once grand but now dilapidated block. The international police are searching her room.
What the devil?
Getting around, Martins?
Oh, pinning things on girls now.
Miss Schmidt, I should like to see your papers, please. Don't you give him anything.
Anna hands over her papers.
Thank you. You were born in Graz of Austrian parents?
Yes.
Payne.
Calloway shows Payne the papers, and Payne points something out. Payne then holds a page up to the light to examine it closer.
It's very good, isn't it?
How much did you pay for this? I'm afraid I shall have to keep this for a while, Miss Schmidt.
How do you expect her to live in the city without her papers?
Write her out a receipt, Payne, and give her a receipt of those letters, too.
This way, miss.
I suppose it wouldn't interest you to know that Harry Lyme was murdered. You're too busy. You haven't even bothered to get the complete evidence.
As Payne sits down to write her receipt, Anna stares at her letters in his hand.
Must you take those?
They'll be returned, miss.
They're private letters.
That's all right, miss. Don't worry. We're used to it. Like doctors.
There was a third man there. I suppose that doesn't sound peculiar to you.
I'm not interested in whether a racketeer like Lyme was killed by his friends or by an accident. The only important thing is that he's dead.
I'm sorry. Tactful, too, aren't we, Callahan?
Calloway.
Must you take those letters?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
They're Harry's.
That's the reason.
You won't learn anything from them. They're only love letters. There are not many of them.
They'll be returned to you, Miss Schmidt, as soon as they've been examined.
There's nothing in them. Harry never did anything. Only a small thing once out of kindness.
And what was that?
You've got it in your hand.
Major Calloway.
Finished?
Yes. Okay.
You'll have to come with us, Miss Schmidt.
You're not locking her up.
Go home, Martins, like a sensible chap. You don't know what you're mixing in. Get the next plane.
As soon as I get to the bottom of this, I'll get the next plane.
Death's at the bottom of everything, Martins. Leave death to the professionals.
Mind if I use that line my next Western? You can't chuck me out. My papers are in order.
There we are, miss. You want a seat for the letters?
I don't want it.
Well, I've got it when you want it, miss.
Martins goes over to her.
Anything really wrong with your papers?
They're forged.
Why?
The Russians would claim me. I come from Czechoslovakia.
Wie die Vandalen! Sie, wo schleppen Sie denn das wieder hin? Mein Gott, Sie können doch nicht das ganze Haus auf den Kopf stellen. Monsieur, versteht er auch nicht.
Wrapped in a bedspread, the landlady pleads with the police who ignore her.
Frau Schmidt, erklären Sie doch den Leuten.
Ja, ja.
Sagen Sie es nur den Leuten, damit sie es auch wissen.
What's she saying?
Only complaining about the way they behave in her house.
Hier sind früher Fürsten aus und eingegangen. Hier hat sogar ein Metter nicht verkehrt.
Give us some cigarettes.
Das waren noch Zeiten. Da hat man sich noch anständig benommen. Danke. Danke sehr, lieben Sie. Danke, danke vielmals. Sie sind wirklich der einzige anständige Mensch hier.
Miss Schmidt, ready? I'll straighten out all this nonsense about Harry. You'll be all right.
Sometimes he said I laughed too much.
Anna is taken away by the police.
What's the name of that doctor? Harry's doctor?
Dr. Winkle.
What do you want to see a doctor for?
A bruised lip.
Good.
Schöne Geschichte. Sie sind Amerikaner. Wäre so etwas in Ihrem Land möglich? Die Leute benehmen sich ja wie die Einbrecher. Eines ist sicher. Die Befreiung habe ich mir ganz anders vorgestellt.
At the police station.
Laboratory, we're coming right down.
Soldiers carry a drawer of personal effects out of the office.
You wait here, Miss Schmidt.
Calloway follows them out, leaving Anna alone in the office. In the room opposite, she sees the uniformed Russian liaison officer closely inspecting her papers, then carrying them off along the corridor. She watches him go with a pensive expression. Martins arrives at an apartment. Inside, a hand is carving a chicken with a large knife.
Haben Sie lieber ein Flügel oder ein Bein?
The knife stops and catches the light.
Is Dr. Winkle in?
Die Sprechstunde ist zwischen 3 und 5.
Dr. Winkle, I'm sorry, I don't speak German.
Nein.
Please, won't you say that I'm a friend of Harry Lime?
Hilde?
Ja?
Führen Sie den Herrn herein.
Bitte. Bitte sehr.
Martin steps inside. Dr. Winkle, the older man who was with Kurtz at the funeral, studies him through a door pane, then comes through to greet him.
Guten Abend.
Dr. Winkle?
Winkle.
Dr. Winkle. Quite a collection of, collection.
Yes. Was willst du hier? Du hast hier gar nichts verloren. Mach, dass du rauskommst. Ja, komm hier. Komm, sei brav, ja?
A dachshund, just like Kurtz's, is ushered out.
Is that your dog?
Yes. Would you mind, Mr.
Martins,
coming to the point, please?
Thank you.
I have guests waiting.
We were both friends of Harry Lime.
I was his medical advisor.
I want to find out all I can.
Find out?
Hear the details.
I can tell you very little. He was run over by a car. He was dead when I arrived.
Who was with him?
Two friends of his.
Sure? Two?
Quite sure.
Could he have been at all conscious?
I understand he was, yes, for a short time. While they carried him across the road.
In great pain?
Not necessarily.
Could he have been capable of making plans for me and others just during those few moments? I understand he left some instructions before he died.
I cannot give an opinion. I was not there. My opinion is limited to the causes of death. Have you any reason to be dissatisfied?
Was it possible that his death might have been not accidental? Could he have been pushed, Dr. Winkle?
Winkle, I cannot give an opinion. The injuries to the head and skull would have been the same.
Anna is pacing the floor when Calloway breezes into the office.
Major, may I see you for a moment, please?
Certainly, Brodsky. What is it?
This forgery is very clever, and we are interested in this case. Have you arrested the girl?
No, not yet.
Please, keep this passport to yourself. Until I will make some inquiries. Will you, Major?
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Right, sit down, Miss Schmidt. We'll send your letters and things back to you.
And my passport?
We'll need that for a while longer.
She looks nervously at the Russian liaison officer, Brodsky.
What did he mean?
You know as much as I do. Miss Schmidt, you were intimate with Lime, weren't you?
We loved each other. You mean that?
Do you know this man?
I've never seen him.
Joseph Harbin?
No.
He works in a military hospital.
No.
It's stupid to lie to me, Miss Schmidt. I'm in a position to help you.
I'm not lying. You're wrong about Harry. You're wrong about everything.
In one of his letters, he asked you to telephone a good friend of his called Joseph. He gave you the number of the Casanova Club. That's where a lot of friends of Lyme used to go.
It wasn't important.
What was the message?
Something about meeting Harry at his home.
Harbin disappeared the day you telephoned. We've got to find him. You can help us.
What can I tell you? But you've got everything upside down.
Okay. That American friend of yours is still waiting for you. He won't do you much good. I thank you, Miss Smith. We'll send for you when we want you.
Martins and Anna arrive at the Casanova Club.
Guten Abend, Herr Schaffen. Bitte schön.
Hello, Mr. Martins. I've been trying to get you at your hotel. I've arranged that lecture for tomorrow.
Oh, what about?
On the modern novel, you remember what we arranged? Oh. Now, they want you to talk on the crisis of fate.
What's that?
Oh, I thought you'd know. You're a writer.
But of course you do. Good night, old man.
Oh, I've forgotten my hat. I'll let you know the time later.
Martins follows Anna into the bar, where he finds her leaning on the counter, a sad, faraway look in her eye.
Drink?
Whiskey.
Two whiskies.
Kurtz is playing the violin for diners.
Zwei whiskey?
How much?
20 shilling, bitte.
Well, they don't take army money here.
How much did he say?
Harry?
Yes. He moved his head, but the rest is good, isn't it?
She puts the photo back in her handbag. When Kurtz notices them, his smile disappears. He signals to a man who's reading the newspaper, then approaches them.
Good evening, Miss Smith.
Good evening.
You have found out my little secret. A man must live.
How goes the investigation? Have you proved the policeman wrong?
Not yet.
But you will. Our friend Dr. Winkler said you had called. Wasn't he helpful?
Well, he was limited.
But Mr. Popescu is here tonight.
The Romanian?
Yes, the man who helped carry him.
I thought he left Vienna.
He's back now.
Well, I'd like to meet all of Harry's friends.
I'll bring him to you.
Haven't you done enough for tonight?
The porter said three men carried the body and two of them are here.
Officers from the International Police arrive.
Who are you looking for now?
Mr. Popescu, Mr. Martins.
How do you do?
Yeah.
And a friend of Harry's, a friend of mine.
I'll leave you together.
Good evening, Schmidt. You remember me?
Of course.
I helped Harry fix her papers, Mr. Martins.
Oh, you did?
Not the sort of thing I should confess to a stranger, but you have to break the rules sometimes. Humanity is a duty. Cigarette, Mr. Schmidt?
Yeah, thank you.
Keep the pack.
I understand you were with Harry. Two double whiskies.
Und was wünschen Sie?
Danke, gar nicht.
Entschuldigen Sie.
It was a terrible thing. I was just crossing the roads to go to Harry. He and the Baron were on the sidewalk. Maybe if I hadn't started across the road, it wouldn't have happened. I can't help blaming myself and wishing things had been different. Anyway, he saw me and stepped off the sidewalk to meet me. And the truck... It was terrible, Mr. Martins, terrible. I've never seen a man killed before.
I think there was something funny about the whole thing.
Funny?
Something wrong.
Of course there was. Some eyes for Mr. Martins.
You think so, too?
It was so terribly stupid for a man like Harry to be killed in an ordinary street accident.
That's all you meant?
What else?
Who was the third man?
I oughtn't to drink it. It makes me acid. What man would you be referring to, Mr. Martins?
I was told that the third man helped you and Kurtz carry the body.
Oh, I don't know how you got that idea. You'll find all about it in the police report. There were just the two of us, me and the Baron. Who could have told you a story like that?
Port at Harry's place. He was cleaning the window at the time.
And so the accident?
No, no, he didn't see the accident. But he saw three men carrying the body.
Why wasn't he at the police inquiry?
He didn't want to get involved.
You'll never teach these Austrians to be good citizens. It was his duty to give the evidence. Even so, he remembered wrong. What else did he tell you?
Harry was dead before you got him to that statue. He probably knows a lot more than that. Somebody's lying.
Not necessarily.
Police say he was mixed up in some racket.
Oh, that's quite impossible. He had a great sense of duty.
Your friend Kurt seems to think it was possible.
I understand how an Anglo-Saxon feels. The Baron hasn't heard, you know.
He seems to have been around a bit. Do you know a man called Hobbin?
Mm.
Joseph Hobbin.
Joseph, huh? Oh. That's a nice girl, that. But you ought to go careful in Vienna. Everybody ought to go careful in a city like this.
Later.
He'll meet us at the bridge. Good.
From Popescu coming off the telephone to elsewhere, Kurtz, furtively leaving an apartment and Dr. Finkel pushing his bicycle out onto the street. At a distance, the three men meet a fourth figure on a suspension bridge and shake hands with him. Then they fall into step with each other and set off across the deserted bridge. As Martins paces around the road outside Lime's apartment, an unshaven man is keeping a beady eye on him. The porter looks down from a window.
Hello. Is it so very important for you?
Yes, it is.
I am not a bad man. I'd like to tell you something.
Tell me, how did the car...
Shh. Come tonight. My wife was out.
All right, I'll come back, but...
Shh. Tonight.
When he turns away from the window, the porter sees something in the room that makes him freeze. Anna screws the top on a bedpost.
Where is that?
Let me come in.
Oh, yes, yes, come.
The porter's going to talk to us tonight.
Need we go through it all again?
I can manage by myself. Are you busy?
Just another part I've got to learn.
Can I hear you?
In German?
I'll try. Is it a comedy or a tragedy?
Comedy. I don't play tragedy.
Do I?
Well, you read this.
Oh. Oh. Gestern beim Hurrigan.
What's that?
Hurrigan, I guess. H-E-Z-T.
Oh, let me see. Yes. No. That's not the cue. It means she has to sit down.
Well, Frau Hausmann.
No. It's no good.
Bad day.
It's always bad about this time. He used to wake him around 6. I've been frightened. I've been alone without friends and money. I've never known anything like this. Please talk. Tell me about him.
Tell you what?
Oh, anything, just talk. Where did you see him last? When? What did you do?
Oh, we didn't make much sense. We drank too much. Once they tried to steal my girl.
Where is she?
Oh, that was 9 years ago.
Tell me more.
Well, it's very difficult. You knew Harry. We didn't do anything very amusing. He just made everything seem like such fun.
Was he clever when he was a boy?
I suppose so. He could fix anything.
What sort of things?
Oh, little things. How to put your temperature up before exam, the best crib. How to avoid this and that.
He fixed my papers for me. He heard the Russians were repatriating people like me who came from Czechoslovakia. He knew the right person straight away for forging stamps.
Yeah. When he was 14, he taught me the 3-card trick. That's growing up fast.
He never grew up. The world grew up around him, that's all. And buried him.
Anna, you'll fall in love again.
Don't you see, I don't want to. I don't ever want to.
Come on out and have a drink.
Why did you say that?
Seemed like a good idea.
It was just what he used to say.
Well, I did learn that from him.
If we have to see the porter, we'd better go.
Well, Harry, can't we talk quietly for a couple of minutes?
I thought you wanted to.
A moment ago, you said you didn't want to see the porter.
We're both in it, Harry.
Holly.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. Might get my name right.
You know, you ought to find yourself a girl.
His English is so very bad, we'll let him talk German. You'll just be good enough to translate.
Look.
A small crowd has gathered.
That's Harry's place, isn't it?
Yes. Let's go away.
What's the matter?
Let's not get into any more trouble.
Wait here.
Martins goes up to a man in the crowd.
What's the matter? What is bloß?
Der Portier ist umgebracht worden.
I don't understand.
Porter, dead. Kaputt.
The porter is ordered. Kaputt. He's murdered.
Papa! Was ist denn, Hans?
Papa, sieh aber!
Was?
der her, da?
Ja, Papi, ich hab doch gesehen! Der ist der Werber!
Hansel, the young boy with the ball, is shouting at Martins.
Sagen Sie, haben Sie einen Streit gehabt mit dem Portier?
I don't understand.
He, wo gehst du hin?
Hansel angrily tugs on Martin's sleeve.
What is it?
Porter's been murdered.
Mein Dios, ist der mit dem Portier die Streiterei gehabt hat?
Wahrscheinlich ist der da mad.
I think you did it.
As Hansel makes a slitting motion across his neck, all eyes turn on Martins, who's being led away by Anna.
Si? Hallo? What's a pistol? Hallo, Moment mal!
Hansel chases them to a corner, then calls back to his father.
Bleibst doch stehen hier!
His father and the rest of the crowd join Hansel in the chase. With a small head start, Martins and Anna carefully make their way down a set of bomb steps strewn with rubble. The young boy and the crowd are just moments behind. Martins pulls Anna to the side to a cinema's box office. While she buys the tickets, Martins sees Hansel's shadow appear on a wall, then the boy himself. He quickly ushers Anna into the cinema. He takes the seat behind her.
Sneak out the other way and go back to your theater. I'd better not see you again.
What are you going to do?
I wish I knew.
Be sensible. Tell Major Calloway.
A taxi driver is talking to the receptionist at the Sacker Hotel.
Mr. Martin Skonitz in the Losenwing, a taxi?
Nein, gar nichts.
Martins comes along the street, sees the taxi, then sounds its horn. He steps into the hotel.
Get me Major Callahan on the phone.
Oh, Mr. Martin,
please, it's very urgent. Just get him on the telephone.
Do you know his number?
No, I don't know his number.
I look it up for you.
Is there a car here I can use?
Of course. They are done waiting for you.
Pitch in the hair. Pitch in.
Never mind about the number.
He follows the taxi driver out. Then they both quickly jump into the car.
Take me to the headquarters.
The driver speeds off, throwing Martins back in his seat.
Hold on! Hold on, I haven't even told you where to take me yet!
Let's start, boy.
Driver! Driver! Slow down! You've got orders to kill me?
The car swerves around a corner, passing a man eating a crust of bread by a bin. As the car careers on through the back streets, narrowly missing a pedestrian, people stop and stare. The taxi races through a set of gates, then brakes hard in front of a building. The driver gestures Martins inside.
Pitching is rein here.
Martins goes to make a run for it.
Ah, Mr. Martins, what a relief to see you. I was beginning to think something had happened to you.
Come along, Mr. Martins, everything's ready for you.
I was frantic in case you hadn't got my message at the hotel. Porter's out here, so I'm reliable, if you know what I mean. We're all set for a wonderful meeting. You'll find the audience most appreciative.
Oh, let me take your coat. I've got it.
There'll be refreshments afterwards. Come along, Mr. M. Follow me.
Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. All's well that ends well. Would you look after them for me? Thank you. Would you like to sit there, Mr. Martins? That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, I have much pleasure in introducing Mr. Holly Martins from the other side.
Martins stands up in front of a room full of people.
Well, bring the car and anyone else would like to come. Don't be long.
Popescu hangs up.
Yeah, well, I suppose that is what I meant to say.
Of course, of course, of course.
Do you believe, Mr. Martins, in the stream of consciousness?
Stream of consciousness.
What author has chiefly influenced you?
Gray.
Gray? What Gray?
Zane Grey.
Oh, that's Mr. Martin's little joke, of course, sir. We all know perfectly well Zane Grey wrote what we call westerns, cowboys and bandits.
Mr. James Joyce. Now, where would you put him?
Would you mind repeating that question?
I said, where would you put Mr. James Joyce? In what category?
Can I ask, is Mr. Martins engaged on a new book?
Yes. It's called The Third Man.
A novel, Mr. Martins?
It's a murder story. I've just started it. It's based on fact.
Why, it's Mr. Popesco. Oh, very great pleasure to see you here, Mr. Popesco. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Popesco is a very great supporter of one of our medical charities.
Are you a slow writer, Mr. Martin?
Not when I get interested.
I'd see you were doing something pretty dangerous this time.
Yeah?
Mixing fact and fiction.
Should I make it all fact?
Why, no, Mr. Martins. I'd say stick to fiction. Straight fiction.
I'm too far along with the book, Mr. Popesco.
Haven't you ever scrapped a book, Mr. Martins?
Never.
Pity.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are no more questions for Mr. Martins, I think I can call the meeting officially closed.
Two men in trench coats arrive and have a private word with Popescu, who gestures in Martin's direction. Having noticed them, Martins casually takes a few steps towards them, then suddenly dashes off up a staircase.
Professor.
On Popescu's word, the two men follow on after him. From the bottom of the stairwell, Martins grips the iron banister and spirals further and further up, with the two men chasing after him. Suddenly, Martins ducks into a darkened room, then presses his ear to the door.
Who's that? Who is it? Who is it?
He turns on a light.
It's all right. It's all right.
A parrot bobs up and down on a perch. As Martins escapes out the window, the parrot pecks his hand. Moments later, Popescu's men enter the room. Martins scrambles down a pile of rubble with the two men in hot pursuit. Then he runs off along a tunnel. Emerging outside, he glances back nervously, then hurries up a set of steps near a church. The men pick their way over the remains of a derelict building, then run up the steps, only a few seconds behind Martins. With his pursuer's shadows looming large on a building's facade behind him, Martins takes cover in a wrecked car lying amongst the rubble. As soon as the men have passed, he takes off in the opposite direction down a cobbled street, a handkerchief wrapped around his pecked hand.
I told you to go away, Martins. This isn't Santa Fe. I'm not a sheriff and you aren't a cowboy. You've been blundering around with the worst bunch of racketeers in Vienna, your precious Harry's friends, and now you're wanted for murder.
Put down drunk and disorderly, too.
I have. What's the matter with your hand?
Parrot bit me.
Oh, stop behaving like a fool, Martins.
I'm only a little fool. I'm an amateur at it. You're a professional. Been shaking your cap and bells all over town.
Payne, get me the Harry Lime file and get Mr. Martins a large whiskey.
I don't need your drinks, Calloway.
You will. I don't want another murder in this case, and you were born to be murdered, so you're going to hear the facts.
You haven't told me a single one yet.
You ever heard of penicillin?
Well?
In Vienna, there hasn't been enough penicillin to go round, so a nice trade started here. Stealing penicillin from the military hospitals, diluting it to make it go further, and selling it to patients. Do you see what that means?
Are you too busy chasing a few tubes of penicillin to investigate a murder?
These were murders. Men with gangrened legs, women in childbirth, and there were children, too. They used some of this diluted penicillin against meningitis. The lucky children died. The unlucky ones went off their heads. You can see them now in the mental ward. That was the racket Harry Lime organized.
Calloway, you haven't shown me one shred of evidence.
We're just coming to that. Payne? Magic Lantern Show.
You good, sir?
You know, Payne's one of your devoted readers. He's promised to lend me one of your books. Which one is it, Payne?
The Lone Rider of Santa Fe, sir.
That's right. The Lone Rider of Santa Fe.
I'd like to visit Texas one day, sir.
Come on, show me what you've got to show.
All right, Payne?
Yes, sir.
A slide of a rhinoceros.
Payne, Payne, Payne.
I got them muddled. It's the new lot that's just come in for Mr. Crabbin.
See this man here? A fellow called Harbin, a medical orderly at the General Hospital. He worked for Lime and helped to steal the stuff from the laboratories. We forced him to give information to us, which led us as far as Kurtz and Lime.
But we didn't arrest them as our evidence wasn't complete and it might have spoiled our chances of getting the others. Next pen.
I'd like a word with this orderly, Harbin.
So would I.
We'll bring him in.
I can't. He disappeared a week ago.
This is more like a mortuary than police headquarters.
We have better witnesses. Look here.
He points to a slide chewing a fingerprint on a medicine bottle. More evidence is produced. On a desk's blotting pad, a mirror is held up to three pieces of circled writing. Calloway compares two sample bottles, then a magnifying glass is run over a set of fingerprints. Later, Calloway sits with all the evidence spread out in front of him. Martins closes a file.
How could he have died? £70 a tube. Go back to the hotel and do keep out of trouble. I'll try and fix things with the Austrian police. You'll be all right in the hotel, but I can't be responsible for you on the streets.
I'm not asking you to.
I'm sorry, Martins.
I'm sorry, too. Still got that airplane ticket on you?
We'll send one across to your hotel in the morning.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Get me Austrian police headquarters.
Can I have that woman's passport? You know, the Anna Schmidt one.
Oh. We're not going to pick her up for that, are we?
What can we do? We have our instructions.
Calloway produces Anna's passport, then the Russian liaison officer takes it away. In a near-deserted club, a scantily clad dancing girl is twirling across the floor. When the waiter serves him a drink, Martins offers him almost all of his cash, watched by a row of women at the bar. Noticing a matronly flower seller nearby, Martins sips a shot, then goes over to her. He buys the rest of her bunch of chrysanthemums, then leaves. Anna is lying in bed, wearing pyjamas monogrammed with the initials HL.
Barista.
Me.
She gets up and pulls on a dressing gown.
It's me.
After turning on a light, she finds Martins on her doorstep clutching the flowers.
Hello.
What is it? What's happened to you?
Just came to see you.
Come in. I thought you were going to keep away. Are the police after you?
I don't know.
You're drunk, aren't you?
A bit. Sorry. But I did want to say goodbye before I pushed off. I'm going back home.
Why?
It's what you've always wanted. All of you.
Kitty? Here, kitty. Kitty, here, kitty. Kitty. Don't you want to play, kitty? Sleepy kitty?
Not very sociable, is he?
No, he only liked Harry. He made you decide so suddenly.
I brought you these. They got a little wet.
What happened to your hand?
A parrot. Let it go.
Have you seen Calloway?
Imagine a parrot nipping a man.
Have you?
It's... Oh, I've been saying goodbye all over. You know.
He told you, didn't he?
Told me?
About Harry.
Do you know?
I've seen Major Calloway today.
Martins moves away from the window. Beyond the plants on the ledge, on the street far below, a figure stops and looks up towards the apartment, before quickly ducking into the shadows of a nearby doorway. Anna's kitten comes around the corner. Face unseen, the man's polished black shoes catch the light. The cat jumps up onto the step beside him, rubs against his legs, then begins playfully nuzzling the leather of his black brogues. Back in the apartment...
He's better dead. I knew he was mixed up, but not like that.
I knew him for 20 years. At least I thought I knew him. Suppose he was laughing at fools like us all the time.
He liked to laugh.
£70 a tube. He wanted me to write for his great medical charity.
I'll put these flowers in the water.
Perhaps I could have raised the price to £80 for him.
Oh, please, for heaven's sake, stop making him in your image. Harry was real. He wasn't just your friend and my lover. He was Harry.
Well, don't preach wisdom to me. You talk about him as if he had occasional bad manners.
No, I don't know. I'm just a hack writer who drinks too much and falls in love with girls. You?
Me?
Don't be such a fool, of course.
If you'd rang me up and asked me were you fair or dark, or had a mustache, I wouldn't have known.
Oh, I am leaving Deanna. I don't care whether Harry was murdered by Kurtz or Popesco or the third man. Whoever killed him, there was some sort of justice. Maybe I would have killed him myself.
A person doesn't change because you find out more.
Look, I've got a splitting headache, and you stand there and just talk and talk and talk. I hate it. That's the first time I ever saw you laugh. Do it again.
She looks down, sadly.
There isn't enough for two loves.
She sits down on the bed, leans on the bedpost, and rests her chin on her hands.
I'd make comic faces and stand on my head and grin at you between my legs and learn all sorts of jokes. I wouldn't stand a chance, would I?
A tear trickles from her eye. Then she turns her face away from his searching gaze.
Did tell me I ought to find myself a girl.
She squeezes her eyes shut and he moves away. Martins walks off through the dark, deserted streets, kicking up his heels as he goes. The cat is still sitting at the feet of the figure in the shadows. Hearing the meow, Martins looks over in the cat's direction, then hides behind a corner.
What kind of a spy do you think you are, Satchelfoot? What are you tailing me for? Cat got your tongue? Come on out. Come out, come out, whoever you are. Step out in the light and let's have a look at you. Who's your boss?
The disgruntled neighbor turns on her light, revealing the man in the doorway below. As he looks over at the shocked Martins, a mischievous smile spreads across the man's face.
Harry!
The woman turns off her light, and Harry Lime is once again shrouded in darkness. Martins has to wait for a car to pass by, and when he gets to the doorway, Harry has disappeared. He chases the sound of the footsteps.
Harry!
Seeing the shadow of a man running away on a wall up ahead, Martins chases after it. Arriving in a deserted main square, he stops and looks about him. Spotting a pillar-shaped kiosk, he walks right the way around it, but there's no one there. Martins pushes his hat back on his head, stumped. He leans on the edge of a nearby stone fountain, then splashes some water on his face, watched by a statue of a cherub. Sensing something, Martins spins round, but there's no one there. He soaks the cherub, then walks away.
Followed his shadow until suddenly, well, this is where he vanished.
I see.
I suppose you don't believe me.
No.
Look, I tell you, you don't think I'm blind, do you?
Yes. Where were you when you saw him first?
50 yards right down there.
Which side of the road?
I was on that side. His shadow was on that side, and there are no turnings on either side.
What about the doorways?
I tell you, I heard him running ahead of me.
Yes, yes, yes. And then he vanished out there, I suppose, with a puff of smoke and like a clap of...
Calloway is suddenly struck by the kiosk in the middle of the square. With Payne and Martins in tow, Calloway prizes open a door on the side of the kiosk, revealing a set of steps leading under the city.
It wasn't the German gin.
Calloway sets off down the spiral staircase, followed by Payne and Martins. They emerge on a landing overlooking a powerful weir feeding a number of arterial sewer canals. Calloway leads them on to where several canals converge in the cavernous main sewer tunnel.
Well, what's this? Where are we?
It's the main sewer. Runs right into the Blue Danube. Smells sweet, doesn't it?
We should have dug deeper than a grave.
Now, in the nighttime cemetery, Calloway, Martins and Payne sit at a distance while a group of men dig out Harry's grave by flame torchlight, then begin lifting up the coffin on ropes. Martins is nursing a scotch with a bottle at his feet.
So, Peter, his fingers are in sauerkraut.
Auf, Martin.
Having been beckoned over to the grave, Calloway and Payne watch as an official kneels down, then slowly opens the lid of the coffin. With their faces giving nothing away, the Major and Sergeant step aside, and the official follows them.
Do you know him, Major?
Yes. Yes, Joseph Harbin, medical orderly at the General Hospital. He used to work for Harry Lyme.
Joseph Harbin?
Yes. He's the man I told you was missing. Next time we'll have a foolproof coffin.
With Anna's passport in hand, Brodsky steps out of a room, then hands it over to a Russian soldier guarding the door.
Smirnov, пожалуйста. Возьмите этот паспорт и произведите арест.
Слушайте, начальник.
The soldier and his international police colleagues drive off across the city to Anna's.
Sie können doch nicht allein dahin aufgehen. Warten Sie doch, bis ich nachkomme. Ich kann ja nicht so rennen. Schließlich ist das ja auch ein anständiges Haus und keine Kaserne.
Hearing their approaching footsteps, a tearful Anna slowly turns her head in bed.
Aufmachen.
Wer ist da?
Internationale Polizei.
She gets up and pulls on her dressing gown over Harry's monogrammed pyjamas. When she opens the inner and outer doors, the Russian soldier and his colleague step over the threshold with her passport.
Fräulein Schmidt?
Ja, was wollen Sie?
Sie müssen mit uns kommen.
Warum?
Ist das Ihr Pass?
Ja.
Bitte ziehen Sie sich an.
She glances away for a moment to think, then fetches her clothes from the back of a chair. As the policemen step further into the room, a colleague guarding the door tries hard to ignore the landlady, who's still wrapped up in a bedspread.
Was ist denn nun wieder los? Kommen Sie jetzt jeden Tag zu uns? Was machen denn die da drinnen? Da können Sie nicht reden? Antworten Sie mir doch! Ja, nicken, nicken, nicken kann ja jeder! Reden sollen Sie! Können Sie nicht Deutsch? Die Sprache hätten Sie längst lernen können. Lang genug sind Sie ja schon hier. Jetzt geht er weg. Ja, was glotzen Sie mich denn so an? Haben Sie noch nie einen Türken gesehen, ja?
The guard escapes into the apartment. Anna returns from getting dressed and switches on a light, all under the watchful gaze of the soldiers. One of them helps her put on her coat.
Where are you taking me?
International Police Headquarters. Just a check-up.
Haben Sie denn gar kein Schamgefühl?
Aber legen Sie sie nicht
auf.
Ist gut, ist gut. Beruhigen Sie sich. Sind Sie fertig, Fräulein?
I'm sorry, miss. It's orders. We can't go against the protocol.
I don't even know what protocol means.
Neither do I, miss.
What was it?
Your lipstick.
Meanwhile, at the International Police Headquarters, Martins is pacing around on a grand staircase when Anna is briskly ushered in by the soldiers.
Anna, what's happened to me?
All right, keep out of this.
Listen, I've got to talk to you. I've just seen a dead man walking.
All right, John, get back.
I saw him buried.
Have you?
And now I've seen him alive.
Anna glances back at him. Calloway comes out of an office with some documents.
Just a minute. Bring her in here.
Anna and her escort follow him through another door.
You stay out here.
Come in, Miss Schmidt. Now then, Miss Schmidt, I'm not interested in your forged papers. That's purely a Russian case. When did you last see Lyme?
2 weeks ago.
I want the truth, Miss Schmidt. We know he's alive.
It is true, then.
Joseph Harbin's body was found in the coffin.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said another man was buried in his place.
Where's Harry?
That's what we want to find out.
I'm sorry. I don't seem able to understand anything you say. He's alive. Now, this minute, he's doing something.
Miss Schmidt, we know he's somewhere across the canal in the Russian sector. You may as well help us. In a few minutes, Colonel Brodsky will be questioning you about your papers. Tell me where Lyme is.
I don't know.
If you help me, I am prepared to help you.
Martin's always said you were a fool.
Vienna is a closed city, Miss Schmidt. He can't get away. Right?
Poor Harry. I wish he was dead. He would be safe from all of you then.
While men sort through a mound of rubble nearby, Martins walks up to a building with a grand neoclassical facade.
Why, that's you! Come up!
Pinkel, look who's here.
I want to speak to you, Kurt.
Of course, come up.
I'll wait here.
I don't understand.
I want to talk to Harry.
Are you mad?
All right, I'm mad. I've seen a ghost. You tell Harry I want to see it.
Be reasonable. Come up and talk.
No, thank you. I like the old. Tell him I'll wait by that wheel there. Or the ghosts only rise by night, Dr. Finkel. You got an opinion on that?
Wearing smoking jackets and cravats, Kurtz and Winkle step back inside. Now, in a deserted fairground, Martins is sitting at the base of a ride having a smoke, while an empty Ferris wheel slowly turns behind him. He gets up, grips onto some ropes hanging from the ride, then looks out across the park. Some way off, on the other side of a carousel, a figure in dark clothing is striding purposefully into the fairground. With his overcoat draped over his shoulders, Martins takes his cigarette out of his mouth, then takes a few steps closer to watch the man. The man spots Martins, then makes a beeline for him. Eventually, Harry breezes up with a roguish smile, and suddenly the fairground fills with people.
Hello, old man. How are you?
Hello, Harry.
Well, they seem to be giving you quite some busy time.
Now listen.
Yes?
I want to talk to you.
Talk to me? Of course. Come on.
They get on the Ferris wheel.
Kids used to ride this thing a lot in the old days, but they haven't the money now for a devil.
Frühstück?
Geht in Ordnung.
Oh, vielen Dank.
Listen, Harry, I didn't believe it.
Good to see you, Harvey.
Was that your funeral?
It was pretty smart, wasn't it?
Oh, the same old indigestion, Harvey. These are the only things that help, these tablets. These are the last. Can't get them anywhere in Europe anymore. You know what's happened to your girl? She's been arrested.
Tough, very tough, but don't worry, old man. They won't hurt her.
You're handing her over to the Russians.
What can I do, old man? I'm dead, aren't I?
You can help somehow.
Harley. Exactly. Who did you tell about me?
I told the police.
Unwise, Harley.
And Anna?
Unwise. Did the police believe you?
You don't care anything at all about Anna, do you?
I've got quite a lot on my mind.
You wouldn't do anything.
What do you want me to do? Oh, be reasonable.
Somebody else to
expect me to give myself up.
Why not?
It's a far, far better thing that I do with the old limelight, the fall of the curtain. Oh, Holly, you and I aren't heroes. The world doesn't make any heroes.
You've got plenty of contacts.
Outside of your stories. I've got to be so careful. I'm only safe in the Russian zone. I'm only safe here as long as they can use me.
As long as they can use you.
I wish I could get rid of this thing.
So that's how they found out about Anna. You told them. Didn't you?
Don't try to be a policeman, old man.
What do you expect me to be? Part of your...
You can have any part you want as long as you don't interfere. I've never cut you out of anything.
So I remember when they raided that gambling joint and you were safe way out.
Sure.
Yeah, safe for you, not safe for me.
Old man, you never should have gone to the police, you know. You ought to leave this thing alone.
Have you ever seen any of your victims?
You know, I never feel comfortable on these sort of things. Victims? Don't be melodramatic. Look down there. Would you really feel any pity if one of those dots stopped moving forever? If I offered you £20,000 for every dot that stopped, would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many dots you could afford to spend? Free of income tax, only. Free of income tax. The only way you can save money nowadays.
A lot of good your money will do you in jail.
That jail's in another zone. There's no proof against me. Besides you.
High above the city, Martin steps up to the carriage's open door and grips the frame.
I should be pretty easy to get rid of.
Pretty easy?
Wouldn't be too sure.
I carry a gun. Don't think they'd look for a bullet wound after you hit that ground.
Dug up your coffin.
And found Harbin?
Harry absorbs the news.
Pity. Holly, what fools we are talking to each other this way, as though I'd do anything to you, or you to me. You're just a little mixed up about things in general. Nobody thinks in terms of human beings. Governments don't. Why should we? They talk about the people and the proletariat. I talk about the suckers and the mugs. It's the same thing. They have their 5-year plans. So have I.
You used to believe in God.
Well, I still do believe in God only. I believe in God and mercy and all that, but the dead are happier dead. They don't miss much here, poor devils.
He writes Anna's name on the window.
What do you believe in? Oh, if you ever get Anna out of this mess, be kind to her. You'll find she's worth it. I wish I'd asked you to bring me some of these tablets from home. Holly, I'd like to cut you in, old man. There's nobody left in Vienna I can really trust, and we've always done everything together. When you make up your mind, send me a message. I'll meet you any place, any time. And when we do meet, old man, it's you I want to see. Not the police. Remember that, won't you? Don't be so gloomy. After all, it's not that awful. But what the fella said. In Italy, for 30 years under the Borgias, they had warfare, terror, murder, and bloodshed. But they produced Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and the Renaissance. In Switzerland, they had brotherly love. They had 500 years of democracy and peace. And what did that produce? The cuckoo clock. So long, Holly.
With a backward glance, Harry breezes off back across the fairground. Now Martins is with Calloway.
But look here, Martins, you can always arrange to meet him at some little cafe here in the international zone.
Wouldn't work.
We'll never get him in the Russian zone.
Calloway, you expect too much. Oh, I know he deserves to hang. You've proved your stuff, but 20 years is a long time. Don't ask me to tie the rope.
Okay, forget it.
Busy, Major?
What is it, Bronski?
We have identified the girl. Here is her report.
I've questioned her. We've got nothing against her.
We shall apply for her at the 4-hour meeting tomorrow. She has no right to be here.
I've asked your people to help with Lyme.
That's a different case. It is being looked into. So long, Major.
In the last war, a general would hang his opponent's picture on the wall. He got to know him that way. I'm beginning to know Lyme. I think this would have worked. With your help.
Martins keeps looking at Anna's passport on the desk.
What price would you pay?
Surprised, Calloway swivels round in his chair.
Name it.
Now, a preoccupied Martins is leaning on a fence at a railway station. Passport in hand, nearby, Anna is escorted up some steps by Payne. The guards on a platform check her papers, then allow them to pass through. Martins watches from a distance, then slips off just as they're boarding the train.
Here we are. You'll be all right here, miss.
Anna looks at her passport.
I don't understand, Major Calloway.
I expect he's got a soft spot for you, miss.
Why has he done all this?
Don't you worry, miss. You're well out of things. There we are, miss.
Thank you. You've been so kind.
Well, I'll be saying good night. Good night, miss.
Anna sits down in the corner of her compartment, closes her eyes for a moment, then blinks to wake herself up. She pulls off her hat, then with a gloved hand tousles her wavy hair. Looking out of the window, something catches her eye, and she wipes away the condensation to see Martins entering a buffet. She stands up and watches him approaching the counter. Looking down the platform, she decides on the spur of the moment to step off the train. Then, when she enters the buffet, Martins looks up from the ashtray.
Are you going too?
No.
What are you doing here?
I wanted to see you off.
See me off from here?
Oh, I watched you out of the train. No harm in that, is it?
How did you know I'd be here?
Well, I heard something about it at police headquarters.
Have you been seeing Major Calloway again?
Of course not. I don't live in his pocket.
Harry, what is it?
For heaven's sake, stop calling me Harry.
I'm sorry.
Some beets, look.
What's in your mind? Why did you hide here?
Hide? Can't a fella have a drink? Here, be cold on that train.
I shall be all right.
You send me a wire as soon as you are.
What's going to happen? Where is Harry?
He's safe in the Russian zone.
How do you know?
Well, I saw him today.
How is he?
He can look after himself. Don't worry.
Did he say anything about me? Tell me.
What were the usual things?
There's something wrong. Did you tell Calloway about meeting Harry?
Of course I didn't tell Calloway.
Why should he help me like that? The Russians will only make trouble for him.
That's his headache.
His?
Oh, well.
Why are you lying?
We're getting you out of here, aren't we?
I'm not going.
You... Anna, don't you recognize a good turn when you see one?
You have seen Calloway. What are you two doing?
Well, they asked me to help take him. I'm helping.
Unable to meet her gaze, he steps away, and she follows him with her eyes.
Poor Harry.
Poor Harry. Poor Harry. Wouldn't even lift a finger to help you.
Oh, you've got your precious honesty and don't want anything else.
You still want him?
I don't want him anymore. I don't want to see him, hear him, but he's still a part of me, that's a fact. I couldn't do a thing to harm him.
Outside, on the steam-filled platform, the departing train casts moving shadows across the window. Martins looks at Anna, who's standing watching the train, her stoic expression giving nothing away.
Oh, Anna, why do we always have to quarrel?
If you want to sell your services, I'm not willing to be the price.
She tears up her passport.
I loved him. You loved him. What good have we done him? Love. Look at yourself. They have a name for faces like that.
She walks out without a backward glance. Martins turns from the wall in time to see the buffet door swinging back and forth, and his coat that he draped over her shoulders earlier lying in a crumpled heap on the floor. Later at the police headquarters, Martins meets Calloway and Payne on their way out.
Oh, Calloway,
there you are. Come in here, there isn't much time.
I want to get a plane out of here tonight.
So she talked you out of it.
Gave me these.
A girl of spirit.
She's right. It is none of my business.
It won't make any difference in the long run. I'll get him.
Well, I won't have helped.
That'll be a fine boast to make. Well, I always wanted you to catch that plane, didn't I?
You all did.
I'd better see if there's anyone still at the terminus. You may need a priority. Mind if I drop off somewhere on the way? I've got an appointment. It won't take 5 minutes.
Of course.
Why don't you come in, too? You're a writer. It might interest you. This is the biggest children's hospital in Vienna. All the kids in here are the result of Lyme's penicillin racket.
They walk down a ward where nursing nuns in starched white caps with wings are on duty. Moving along a line of cots, Martins looks somber-faced. When he stops at one with a teddy bear attached to the metal frame, Calloway comes up to him.
It had meningitis. They gave it some of Lyme's penicillin.
terrible pity, isn't it?
They move away from the bed. Two sisters are busy administering oxygen at one cot, while another nun carries a bowl of surgical swabs away from another. Martin slowly casts his eyes around the scene. A nurse makes an adjustment to a graph, then hangs up the chart. The teddy bear lies face down on a shelf. In the car.
Payne lent me one of your books. Oklahoma Kid, I think it was. I read a bit of it, looked as if it was going to be pretty good. What made you take up this sort of thing? Been doing it for long?
All right, Calloway, you win.
I never knew there were snake charmers in Texas.
I said you win.
Win what?
I'll be your dumb decoy duck.
In the Café Marc Aurel, Martin sits at a window table with a coffee in front of him and peers out into the empty nighttime street. The buildings opposite show the signs of war, with crumbling walls and blacked-out windows. At one end is a deserted square with a large fountain at its centre. Members of the International Police are posted in various locations, all of them keeping a close eye on the eerily quiet streets and alleyways. One officer exhales through his nose, his breath leaving a trail in the cold night air. An officer notices a man's shadow sweeping across a building's facade some two stories high. He calls down to someone lurking in the shadows of the fountain below, then Calloway steps halfway into the light. All eyes turn to the large, ominous shadow making its way across the building at the end of the street. Martins notices it too. Then, from around the corner, the man appears. It's just a balloon seller. Calloway and Payne step back into the shadows, and Martins turns back to his coffee.
Look, sir.
Anna enters the cafe and firmly closes the door.
How much longer are you going to sit here?
Shall I go over there, sir?
No, leave them for a while.
Carrying a bunch of balloons on a string, the old bearded seller pauses and looks in Calloway's direction, making the Major and Payne turn away. Leaning on a walking stick, the seller stumbles a little as he walks towards them.
Mein Herr Balloon.
Nine, danke, nine.
The seller persists.
Balloon?
Weit again, versehen Sie nicht?
Gehen Sie weg. Gott hab ich's Körper. Balloon, mein Herr. Gehen Sie weiter, bitte.
You right.
Come on, schnell.
All right, only one.
Go on, Körper.
Payne steps out to buy a balloon, then retreats. A figure appears on the roof of a bombed neoclassical building. It's Harry. In black overcoat and hat and smoking a cigarette, he looks down on the fountain. Then, casting his eye around the square, he looks out over the derelict buildings until he sees, beyond a crumbling stone balustrade, the cafe lit up in the street below. Inside, Anna looks over at Martin sitting in the window.
Should have gone. How did you know I was here anyway?
From Kurtz. They've just been arrested. But Harry won't come. He's not a fool.
Yes, Payne. Slip over there. See what she's up to.
Right, sir.
Don't tell me you are doing all this for nothing.
Harry sneaks in.
What's your price this time?
No price, Anna.
Honest, sensible, sober, harmless Holly Martins. Holly. What a silly name. You must feel very proud to be a police informer.
She sees Harry.
Harry, get away. The police are outside. Quick!
Anna!
Spotting Payne, the armed Harry slips out through the back again.
Sheriff! The back!
Policemen begin scrambling down a pile of rubble, closing in on Harry. Harry takes off along a path, then disappears down a dark, misty back street. With Payne and the international police hot on his heels, Harry throws off his hat, flings open the triangular sections of a manhole cover, then disappears inside. A policeman with a rifle arrives first, followed by Payne, Calloway, Martins and the others. Then they all run down a spiral staircase into the sewers. They hurry across a landing overlooking a weir and see Harry darting into a side tunnel. At the end, Harry pauses to look back before running off along the main sewer tunnel and disappearing into the darkness. Payne and the others are just a few moments behind him. Hearing the shots, everyone presses themselves against the wall, except Martins, who steps out into the open.
Martins, get back!
Martins splashes through the ankle-deep water, heading in Harry's direction. On the street above, a police wagon arrives. Several officers get out, open a manhole cover, then charge down a spiral staircase into the sewers. Arriving with torches in the main tunnel, they see a tiny figure running away up ahead. Harry presses himself close to the wall. As Calloway and the others take off after him, a panicking Harry dashes down a series of labyrinthine side tunnels. He's about to run up a staircase leading to the street when he stops. Up above, several policemen are in the process of opening the manhole cover.
Hey!
Harry has to stoop as he quickly takes cover in a very low tunnel. From this vantage point, he can see the police filing across the landing over the weir, then heading towards the main tunnel. Carrying a revolver, the lead policeman directs his men away from the main tunnel and back the way they came. Harry takes flight. With both flame and electric torches, the policemen creep back across the landing and peer into the tunnel where Harry was moments before. Another officer leads his men out of a hole into the main tunnel. Harry ducks out of sight. The recently arrived police, together with their international counterparts, are now positioned at strategic points throughout the sewer network. Keeping his eyes peeled, the lead officer shines a torch into a pitch-black tunnel. The noise makes him prick up his ears.
Me.
A lamp is shone on the fleeing Harry. Torches in hand, the police give chase. Harry swings himself over a staircase railing, then is about to climb up a ladder to the street when the manhole cover above opens and he sees police about to come down. Harry darts across a landing overlooking a weir, climbs over the railing, then jumps into ankle-deep water below. With small, shuffling sidesteps, he makes his way across the top of the overflow. Moments later, a line of policemen splash through the water, following in his footsteps. Harry hears them and freezes. Using ropes, the police slide down the weir wall, then disappear through a tunnel. Meanwhile, Harry is about to come down the steps to another tunnel when he sees the police about to cut him off. He quickly presses himself against a wall and waits for them to pass. When he thinks the coast's clear, he dashes off down another side tunnel, but one of the international patrol spots him. Finding another exit guarded by police and a dog, Harry runs off again. With his breath visible in the cold, damp air, he finds himself alone in the middle of a large tunnel, with the dark mouths of several side tunnels feeding into it. His head spins round as he tries to locate where the voices are coming from. In a panic, Harry chooses one of the tunnels and disappears down it, only to meet Martins.
Harry!
Jew?
You're through, Harry. Come out. You haven't got a chance this way.
What do you want?
You might as well give up.
Come on, sir. Get back. Get back. Keep back, sir. Come back. Hey, come back, sir.
Harry fires his revolver, then Payne falls to his knees, shot. Then when Harry makes a run for it, Calloway takes aim and fires. Harry drops to the ground up ahead. While Martins and Calloway hurry to Payne's aid, Harry crawls on his belly to a spiral staircase leading up to the street. Seeing the grilled manhole cover within tantalizing reach, Harry begins to slowly pull himself up the stairs, gripping his revolver in one hand. Back in the tunnel, Calloway and Martins exchange a look over Payne's motionless body. With eyes wild and determined, Harry claws his way closer to the grill cover. From Payne's lifeless hand, Martins takes a revolver, then purposefully sets off along the tunnel in Harry's direction. Shaking and sweating with the effort, Harry finally reaches the cover. On the street above, the fingers of both his hands curl up through the metal grill, then wrap themselves around it. Martins arrives at the bottom of the staircase. Harry's fingers grope the air, then splay, before sliding back down through the grill as he slumps on the staircase. Keeping his gun aimed, Martins steps closer to his old friend. Martins eyes Harry steadily. Still slumped on the stairs, Harry meets his gaze, then tears well in his eyes, and he gives the slightest of nods. Martins looks down for a brief moment to consider. The shot rings out along the tunnel, stopping Calloway in his tracks. At the far end, he sees Martins in silhouette, emerging through the mist.
There, give him the evil away. Him.
Now, in a replay of the earlier funeral, Anna sprinkles earth on Harry's new grave, then hurries away. As Martins watches her go, Calloway comes up behind him, then the two men fall into step with each other. Anna walks briskly off through the cemetery.
What time is it?
2:30.
Anna carries on along an avenue.
I'll have to step on it if you're going to catch that plane.
Calloway, can't you do something about Anna?
I'll do what I can, if she'll let me.
As the military car passes, Martins turns to look back at Anna, who's striding along the road with her hands dug deep into her coat pockets.
Wait a minute, let me out.
Well, there's not much time.
One can't just leave. Please.
Be sensible, Martins.
I haven't got a sensible name, Calloway.
Martins grabs his bag from the back of the car, then looks back along the road towards Anna, who's a tiny figure some way off in the distance. He slings his bag onto a nearby cart, then leans back against it to wait for her. Wearing a dark beret and light duffel coat, Calloway turns away and drives off along the road. Leaves gently flutter down from the two rows of bare branch trees flanking the avenue, creating a thin carpet on the ground. Keeping a steady pace, Anna continues to walk down the middle of the road towards Martins, who's still casually waiting by the cart. He looks in her direction. She carries on walking steadily closer. Then, with her hands still dug into her coat pockets, she walks right on past him without any acknowledgement of his presence, and her face giving nothing away. Taking his time, Martins reaches into his trouser pocket for his pack of smokes, puts a cigarette in his mouth, then lights it up with a match. Then, taking a thoughtful puff, he tosses the match away and remains where he is. The end.